work globally as a speaker, retreat facilitator, medium, and mentor. My mission is to awaken and realign you back to your magnificence, your power, and infinite potential. As the founder of the Rise with Love philosophy, I'm honored to share wisdom that will create the expansion of joy, abundance, love, and freedom to flow into your life. If you're ready, I want to hear you say yes, because the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to rise with love. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to a new episode. As you rise with love, you'll find ways to connect body, mind, and soul to heal and be empowered to live your best life. I'm so excited to introduce you to my special guest today, Lauren Tesma from Trilogy, a holistic mental and emotional coaching program. Her mission is to assist women to find more understanding and empowerment with their relationship with their mind, emotions, body, and actions. I'm so looking forward to co-creating together, Lauren. So a huge welcome.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Lauren, I really love your energy and your message and kind of everything you stand for. And so for me, this is a really important conversation. I feel there are so many things that when it comes to our mental health and our emotional well-being and all of that kind of stuff that we're going to dig into a little bit deeper, a lot of it is taboo and it's shameful and all of those things. So this conversation is going to be so empowering and hopefully help you, if for those of you that, you know, are tuning in, to feel loved and to feel accepted and to know some ways in which you can start loving yourself no matter what you're kind of going through on this journey. So I just want to commend you, Lauren, for doing this work, for stepping into who you truly are and really shining the positive light that is so needed on this kind of stuff. So thank you so much for doing what you do, and I can't wait to dig in a little bit deeper. So I'd love for you to share how you got started on creating Trilogy.
Okay, yeah, it's a funny story, one of those you don't expect what life is going to bring you, but it brings you exactly what you're supposed to have and what you need, even if you're not aware of that at the moment. I was on track to become a licensed therapist, had just graduated my master's program, 9 months pregnant, was going to take my board exam, had a job lined up, was going to go start my career right after maternity leave. Turns out funding fell through for that position, and I was forced into this space of, do I sacrifice what means the most to me, which is being a mom, what I see so much value and reward in, or do I, you know, sacrifice that to go chase a career that I also find so much passion and purpose in? And I kept searching, and it didn't seem like there was a possibility out there. And I'm one that, if it doesn't exist, are you willing to create it? So that's where I came up with this mental and emotional health coaching, similar to therapy, but it's a collaboration of, you know, therapy and counseling concepts, but also life coaching concepts, and really driving action behind what we discover and what we learn. So it's a beautiful process that I think was just a gift made for me to create. I do feel like it's what I'm supposed to do, and I feel that every day as I practice and continue developing what Trilogy is, the holistic, the mind, the body, the soul, and just teaching women, empowering them to really explore how they, those things can work together, and to heal your relationship with how you interact with each part of yourself. So I didn't think this is where it would end up, but I'm so grateful and so happy that I get to do this every day, and it's even better than I could have ever imagined for myself.
So amazing, isn't it? Like, when you have a plan and then the plan kind of falls flat and you're left to go, well, what do I do now? Because I remember many moons ago, I was a primary school teacher and I got pregnant with my second child, so my son. And at the time, I was on a fixed term contract, which means I didn't have a job to go back to. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? And so I started doing readings because everyone kept telling me that's what I should do. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll start doing readings then at my dining room table back in the day. And it was incredible because what I thought was going to be a hobby, I thought I was just going to have one client, you know, a week and I'd be so happy, turned into I can actually not have to worry because I was, you know, 3 weeks after having my son, I was back at work because the demand was just so huge. And I never thought that I would go into anything like this, you know. And I think sometimes we have to get out of our own way, or the universe is going to make us get out of our own way before, you know, whether we want to or not. And it does end up aligning us with our purpose and our soul's mission and all of that kind of stuff, even if we didn't realize that it's what we were going to do. So I love your story of how you were just like, I kept looking and I kept, and nothing was coming up. And so I had to create something, right? And yeah. So I want to know, what's been some of the most, you know, benefits or challenges that you've had to overcome being an entrepreneur? Because that wasn't necessarily the plan. So, right. You know, shed some light on that for us.
Yeah, it's absolutely a sacrifice to live and get to do. And I say get to do what you love, because some people, I think, can look in on it and, you know, make their human judgment of, oh, you know, it came easy to her, or she's just gifted, or she's talented. And it's like, yes, but also that takes effort and that takes time and it takes sacrifice. People didn't see me in the beginning that, you know, we couldn't afford childcare. So I would get clients, you know, take what you can, but I was also babysitting, having kids come over to my house when my husband would come home. Then I'd go drive and deliver for Uber Eats. People don't see that necessarily the sacrifices or the grinding, I say like sowing the seeds and working the ground, they just sometimes see the harvest. So don't be so quick to see someone's harvest and forget the work that is required to get there. And I think for myself, who had never been an entrepreneur before, it really was this cool process of self-development and my own self-healing, because you do realize the only thing stopping you is your own limiting beliefs and maybe how you see the world, whether that's time, money, yourself, your abilities, you know, your giftings, your creativity. You really have to stretch yourself because your job depends on it. And I had never been in that position before. You just show up, do your job, you get paid. So it was this really overwhelming and rewarding roller coaster, because you know the highs were so great and you're like, yes, I was meant to do this. But then 2 days later you're like, oh, am I supposed to be doing this? This is, what am I doing? What am I thinking? What have I gotten myself into? And that's totally normal, is what I've also come to, you know, experience and know from other entrepreneurs, is that's part of what's so rewarding about it. It isn't just make your own schedule and go on vacation wherever you want. Like, nope. It is so much nitty gritty and stepping outside of your comfort zone whenever you get the opportunity and failing your way to where you want to get. And that, I think, just the inner work that I've had to do and have wanted to do, because, you know, that's your only limitation. You know, you say, get out of your own way. You know, we ask God, move mountains, but what if you're the mountain? What if you're what needs to move out of the way? And so I just have this unique and different perspective on myself, others, work, relationships. And I'm like, oh, even if for some reason, if something changes tomorrow, I couldn't do what I do, I am so grateful for the journey that I would do it all over again.
I feel like you're in my head, because that's how I felt. You know, it's like I didn't go to an entrepreneur school to learn how to be an entrepreneur. I've been doing this for nearly a decade, and I really just say I fluked my way into everything. It's like as a primary school teacher. That's what I knew. And, you know, having your own business, people just see the good. They really don't realize. It's called the iceberg analogy or something. I've seen
yes.
a picture where it's like people just see the top of the iceberg, but they don't see the sacrifices, the sleepless nights, the you going, you know, I remember where I couldn't necessarily put food on the table. And I'm like, I'm supposed to hold this image of being really successful. And, you know, it's like people want to try and mimic the amount of success that maybe someone has. And it's like, there is. Entrepreneurship is the most incredible personal journey, mm-hmm. but it also comes with, you know, so many, you know, I call them lessons rather than challenges, yes. but it's like, oh my gosh, stuff that I've had to go through that I thought I would never have to go through in my life. But like you, I do it all over again, even though some days I just go, I wish I had a normal job, my 9 to 5, and then that only lasts a few minutes or something. So I'm so proud of you for, you know, stepping into the unknown, because the unknown is where all the infinite possibilities happen. It's not in what we know. There's no growth in that. So you are such a testament to, if it's in your heart, there's no option showing up for you, that it's potentially time for you to go and create something that either is your own or has been inspired by someone else, that you can bring it in your way. So I really truly commend you for finding yourself in your entrepreneurship journey. So what do you think are some of the biggest struggle women are facing these days when it comes to their mental health?
Oh, that's a huge question. But I think throughout my work, the thing that I run into the most is really women just thinking they're unworthy or unlovable, and just questioning that, even if it's subconscious, unconsciously, they question it. Really getting to that root is just overworking, overcommitting, just to prove value or worth, whether that's where they think they're getting it from other people or really just from themselves, and control versus empowerment. Women trying to control things versus stepping into their power, because those are two very different things. But that is, from so far, what I have encountered the most is women just struggling with identity as a feminine woman in this world, and the responsibilities that they put on themselves, and what culture puts on us a lot as well. And yeah, just control versus power.
It's so sad, isn't it, that it was like my heart was breaking, because I've experienced that. I've had a long battle with mental health issues. And so I know the rawness of someone who goes through something like that and the healing that it takes. And when you were talking about, you know, women aren't feeling worthy, I just want to cry. I just want to, you know, it's like, why, you know, why has the stigma been put on anybody, not just women? I'm sure men also feel unworthy. It's like, why have we put this on society for people to not feel worthy of being loved? I mean, oh my gosh, I truly believe that's what we came here to experience, is love on all forms. I believe we are unconditional love. And so that is, to me, source energy into which we come from. So it's like denying ourselves of who we truly are from, it's heartbreaking. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Cutting yourself off from your own life source ultimately is what's happening. Yeah. It definitely breaks my heart. And then I also have so much hope, because I know there is hope. There is a way. There are things that you can do to transform that limiting belief, something that you've overlearned throughout conditioning and just not protecting the diet that you give your brain and your mind, and not knowing exactly how to do that.
So one of the things that I really, you know, love about you, and why I was so drawn to having this conversation, is that you're really passionate about helping the whole person. What parts of a person do you usually see get missed or neglected? And why do you think that is? What's the missing piece really that we're, you know, forgetting? Yeah.
I love that you asked that question because I think it's so important for people to see what's below the noise, what's below, you know, not just focusing on problem and symptom management, but looking at the core and the root. And I think honestly, what gets neglected the most is the soul, you know, and I think that comes from being taught that we can't trust it, that we don't know if we can trust it or if we should trust it or whose voice is this really inside of my head? Is this, you know, my parents' voice? Is this culture's voice? You know, just reconnecting to who we are as people and as an individual and just stepping more into that authentic higher self, just your true essence of who you are as a human. Once you can grasp that and heal that relationship, everything else is kind of a trickle effect. So that's why it's like, women can spend years on the diet cycle and spend hours in the gym and weigh every ounce of food they eat and lose the weight for a moment of time. But there's only so much manipulation you can do on the outside because it's all built on your inner world, the soul, like who you truly believe you are. And a common thing that I say is doing it from love, not for love. And I think if you can correct that, on the deepest essence of who you are as a person, your relationship with your mind will start to change. Your relationship with your body will start to change and your relationship with other people and just how we interact and experience life and relationships. But if you don't get down to that core and learn to trust yourself again and heal that, probably what has started from your childhood, you know, the inner child and what we've been taught. Anytime someone denies your reality as a child, that's teaching you not to trust yourself. And I think that's so innocent. We don't know what's going on. Our parents don't necessarily know that's going on. And it's no one's fault. And there's no shame or guilt there. But as you come into an adult and you do have the cognitive ability and you do have the tools accessible to you to work on that and to heal it, I think it would be such a beneficial and, from my perspective, crucial thing to reconnect to and heal. Yeah, out of the mind and the body and the soul, I think ultimately the most important is just yourself, your soul, and, you know, self-healing, not just in a selfish way. The self is you, who you are and who you believe that you are, because everything just kind of manifests from there.
Amen, sister. I think what you've said is bang on. It's, you know, you hit the nail on the head on that. I feel, you know, with all the work that I do, because, you know, it evolves. You're fine, sweetheart. It evolves. Right. I don't do psychic readings anymore, for example, you know, like it all evolves. And one of the things that I see all the time is people just so disconnected from their soul, from their being. And, you know, I think it's, in some ways, we can go to the gym, eat the right foods because we can see the physical body. And so we can see the change happening. We can technically maybe hear what's going on in our mind. So maybe we can be a little bit more aware of our mind. But our being, our soul, that's invisible. That's not necessarily something that we, I don't even know how to explain.
You really can't cover up.
But it's like, yeah. So, you know, it is probably the part that gets missed out the most because it's not necessarily part of the tangibleness of the physical world. And with you looking at the whole person, it is that trilogy, really, isn't it? Body, mind, and soul. You're such a clever cookie. Something that you said that was like, oh my gosh, it moved me, is that we have to come from love. Can you explain for us what is, you know, how can we maybe come from love? Because I'm all about, you know, rising with love. That's the philosophy. So can you explain, like, how can we come from love before just approaching ourselves? Because you know, you talk a lot about not being worthy and all of that kind of stuff. So Just give us maybe an example or what you've seen for yourself or for one of your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. So I like to say, do it from love, not for love, because then there's a certain attachment to the outcome, which is giving away your power, and it's conditional. You know, I can only be loved if I get this response. I can only be loved if they treat me this way. Instead of saying, I am loved no matter what. And that opens up a healthier relationship and, you know, connection to what you do and how you interact with other people. I'll use a personal example, and it's even with clients. If I did this in some way from a lack in myself or insecurity, that's codependence. That is not good therapy. That is not good coaching, because then I would need my clients to be a certain way or say a certain thing for me to feel validated as a person. And that can get you into a lot of trouble. That can, you know, projection and all those things that you're taught as a therapist that are, you know, so not good, and they're not benefiting the client, but also in relationships. I have learned with my own marriage to, I use another acronym, love, let others voluntarily evolve. That's just what I like to represent as love, because I don't need you to do, say, or be anything for me to feel love, because that comes from inside me. That's something I create. That's not something that is given. That's not something that is taken. If it is created inside of me, I can create it whenever I need it, whenever I want it. It always is there, right? But when we find ourselves doing things in order to create that feeling or looking to other people to create that feeling, you're going to be let down and you're going to be able to feel unloved, right? Which is where the problem comes from. But if you're not looking, and that can manipulate your intentions. I think I'm doing this out of love. I like to use this as like people pleasing, you know? People don't ask to be pleased. I didn't ask you to people please me. So sometimes your need for other people to love you or your need for other people to give you attention doesn't actually lead to love. It leads to disappointment, rejection, insecurity, overanalyzing, ruminating, all the things, right? So you become more attached to the outcome instead of, I showed up the best way I knew how. I'm always learning. I'm always growing. I'm doing my best. Until I know better, then I'll do better. But I am love, and that's not something that can be taken away. So then that frees up people to be themselves. It frees up people to grow at their own pace. It frees people to have their own perspectives, own belief systems, without it directly affecting your inner experience, which then I can protect my essence without taking on the world.
It's like moving away from codependency, potentially, in a way, right?
Absolutely.
And one of the things you also mentioned about it, you know, we give our power away, you know, like when we're not feeling worthy, you know, we've given our power away. So when we're coming from that place of from love, there's no expectation. Love has no expectation anyway. Love is, you know, understanding, it's accepting, it's all those incredible things. And if we're, like you say, if we're always, you know, well, if, you know, let's use relationships. I'll use, you know, me and my partner, for example. If I go, oh, if I do the dishes, you know, maybe he'll love me a little bit more because I know his love language is acts of service, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, actually, I shouldn't have to do something to get love, because, you know, love is within me. It can't be taken away. I think that's what you're saying. It's like, people can show you maybe the, you know, as a reflection of that love, but they can't take that love away from us when we're loving with no agenda.
Yes. And I love a client, I think actually last week in one of our sessions, was able to shift into saying, I did this because it's who I am. I love to give. That's who I am. I didn't give to feel better. Like, I don't really care what they do with it. They could throw it in the trash. And this was someone that was very dependent on people pleasing and really needed the approval of others. But what she recognized when she really connected with herself was, this is just what I love doing because it's who I am. So I can just show up, be me, And people are free to take it however they want or however they need. But I still choose to show up in a way that's authentic to myself. And that's giving, serving, loving, supporting. And that was such a beautiful moment for her because she thought she had to be those things instead of she just is those things.
I love that. And when that shift happens, it's like, I feel the soul goes, oh, there you are. Welcome back.
Yes.
I'd love for you to explain because, you know, I think sometimes they kind of get put in the same category. What is the difference between mental and emotional health?
Yes. So with emotional health is positive, happy, optimistic, right? And that can bleed into mental health. I have to think positive. I have to think, you know, all these happy thoughts all the time. And that's not true. Health isn't just running marathons and eating chicken, right? It's balance. Health is not just an action. It's an intention. It's being authentic to who you are and what you need in that moment and being aware of what that need is. So with the difference between mental and emotional health is you are not responsible for the first thought that pops up in your head. It's just your brain doing its thing. We dive into that in my alignment program, but really freeing up people from your brain is just having a thought. You're not responsible for that first thought, but you are responsible for the second and the third and the fourth, you know, where you let that first triggering thought take you. And that's where you can really learn the tools and dive into creating thoughts on purpose and really changing your perspective on things and understand where that thought may have been coming from. Was it my ego? Was it my inner child? Was it, you know, where was that coming from so that you can understand it and transform it? And also with emotions, the goal isn't to be happy all the time. The goal isn't to be empowered all the time. If I told you, you have to be happy all the time, that means, hey, you got to be happy all the time. Someone passes, sorry, got to be happy. That robs us of what being human and experiencing being a human is all about. So when you can open up yourself to the full experience of the positive and the negative and find your comfort in both and being willing to feel both, not going with the urge to fix it, avoid it, get around it, you know, any of those things that we have been taught. Negative emotions are not something to be fixed. There's something to be felt and understood. You have to give yourself permission to feel whatever comes up because it's just an emotion. It's not a fact, right? It's like you're driving a car and a check engine light comes on. Most people are taught, oh, I'll just take it to the car wash. It's like, wait, whoa. Of course your car's breaking down. You need to pop the hood and see what's going on here. How can I understand this emotional response? And all of our emotions really do come from our thoughts, the way we think. I like to say that your emotion is your body's way of experiencing, physically experiencing your thoughts. So that emotion is just coming from a thought. And you can use your brain for the incredible tool it is to go back and see maybe where your thoughts spiraled the wrong way, or maybe where you overindulged with a narrative too much, or maybe you're recreating the past or your past traumas, and learning to retrain your brain to serve you in a way that is actually serving your life, because you do have that ability and you do have that tool available to you at any time that you need it. People have just let go of the autopilot. Just whatever comes up is what it is. And that's my reality. And that's who I am. That's just what I do. Instead of thinking of it more as like a program that just needs an update.
Like some software. It's time to update, you know, your software.
Yes.
And like, you know, we've got to, it's like sometimes we've got to let go of old thinking. It's like try and plug in a telephone into the wall now, you know, like back in the day. I don't know if you're old enough.
Yes.
I was growing up, the, you know, a telephone was on the wall and it had a line. So, you know, you couldn't just walk around, you know, with your phone. You had to be there at the wall and you know, yep. Parents could listen to your conversation type thing. So it's like, well, you probably couldn't plug a phone into the wall now. You know, that's old software, that's old technology. But hey, we still want to hold on to that phone and try and plug it into the wall because, you know, that's a thought we've occupied and that's how it was done. So, you know, if I can use it as a metaphor in a sense, as that's what we do. And we've got to let go of those old thinking or who we were in the past because, hey, we've grown or we've experienced things that have, you know, allowed us to evolve. And I really feel, you know, people who may be struggling with this, I highly recommend that they do, you know, some of your programs and whenever the next one is, you know, as the point to where they hear this podcast. So, you know, reach out to Lauren and go and see what programs she's offering to help you with the shift. It is amazing to have someone hold space and support you and teach you the tools. Because one of the things that you also talk about is that we need to take action. And I see this all the time as being the part that people just are like, I don't do this part, you know? Yeah. So why do we have to take the action?
Yes, I love that you bring this up because it is so essential. People think this is a very common, just primitive brain thought. We think that we'll change and then we'll take the action, right? Let me change, let my circumstances change, let this change, that change, and then I can do this. When in fact, that's just your primitive brain keeping you safe, doing its job. Your brain works, congratulations, that's a good thing. But you now get to see, oh, wait, action will always bring about more change. It's the action part. You can read all the books. You can do all the meditations. You can do all the affirmations. But if you don't take action in actively believing them and choosing like you believe them and take action different than what you've always been doing, has anything really changed? You want change. There's a difference between wanting and doing. A lot of people want to work from home and have their own business, but are they willing to do it? And we don't like that. We don't, our brain doesn't like to be uncomfortable. Our brain doesn't like to put forth effort. It likes to be efficient, effective, and predictable. You throw it outside of its cave and it's going to tell you, nope, go back, abort this mission. Like, this is not good. We are not safe here. And that's why it's your job to coach your brain and coach yourself in a way that's, no, this action is required to get us where we want to go. How you think and feel about that action isn't always true. You know, it is that brain. I refer it to as the inner toddler throwing a fit. It's like, no, I don't want to eat vegetables for dinner. How dare you? You're ruining my life. Like, that is in essence how our brain is going to respond to us taking uncomfortable action. It's telling you not to, but not because it's going to hurt you, because it's scary, it's new, it's vulnerable. But in fact, that's what is required to get where you actually want to go. So if you're avoiding the action, you're really just saying, I am taking action, but it's going to be the actions I'm comfortable with, which are going to be the actions that are going to continue to give me the results I've always gotten.
Yeah. You're going to keep, it's like not taking the action is going to give you the results you don't want, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to keep saying, you know, my life sucks or nothing good ever happens to me or, you know, blah, right. blah, blah, because, you know, you have taken an action, but you've chosen to do nothing, right? So mm-hmm. you're still, you know, you're giving momentum to something. You're just giving the momentum to what's,
say, like your homeostasis.
Yeah.
Where you've always been. Yeah. And like inside one of the alignment program, we learn and I teach you how to work with your brain. Because if you do something that's too uncomfortable for your brain, it's going to pull you back. You know, with body image, you can look in front of the mirror and say, I love my body. I love this body. But if you don't really believe that, your brain's going to say, who are you kidding? No, you don't. Like, you're joking, right? Like, you're just trying to live in la la land. Like, come back over here. We're going to just stay in our insecurity. We're going to stay here because that's where we've always been. So in order to work and to get there, because you can get there, but you have to work with your brain, because if it has too much of a jump, that's what we call cognitive dissonance, and your brain's going to come back. I love the analogy of carving in a tree. So if you have a knife and you dig it in, you know, think of your sweetheart and you guys put your initials in a tree, right? When you're starting to carve out that new pathway, it's harder, but you have to repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, and it gets deeper and a little easier to go on. Well, your brain has created these pathways, neurological pathways, and the more you've repeated them, the deeper they're going to go, and you've created almost like a mental highway. You can get somewhere unproductive real fast, but this process is teaching the brain to get off the highway and to create a new path. Get your machete out, get into the poison oak, bring your ointment, and like, let's get somewhere else. But if you keep doing that, you're going to eventually create a new path that's a little easier and a little more comfortable. And your brain is going to say, oh, absolutely, we could get back on that highway, but we know where that gets us, and that's not where we want to go. But look, I've created this new path, and that does get me where I want to go. So you have to train your brain to get off the highway, or else it's not going to. It's like that toddler throwing a fit. If it wants the cookie, they want the cookie. Doesn't mean you have to give them the cookie.
I do love that. You don't have to give your brain the cookie. But I love the cookie. Right?
But I want the cookie.
Yeah, that's right. In our messages when we were, you know, discussing what potentially this is going to be about, one of the questions I ask is, who is one of your greatest mentors? And I actually loved your answer to this. And I was like, wow, this is, no one's ever said this before. I think this is just such an incredible way to look at things. As you said, that your greatest mentor is your future self, right?
Yeah.
Can you explain that? Because I was like, wow, that needs to be everybody's mentor, right? Our own future self. So please explain that way of looking at things, because this was a new concept to me. It's not something I've ever thought about, but I was like, oh, that resonates. So please elaborate.
It's funny because when that popped up, I was like, you know, I don't know, but I've done so much work that I'm like, who else would I want to trust besides myself? Because I trust myself and I know me better than anybody else ever could know a person. So of course it would be my future self. I love to use my imagination instead of for anxiety, for something creative and productive. And that's thinking, you know, where am I going to be at in a year? Where do I want to be at? So that way I can work backwards and think, okay, if that's where she's at, if that's what her life looks like, and it's possible, because it's so important to actually connect mentally to that, because it makes it more real. It's like manifestation, you know, it's like, okay, no, that's possible. That is really somewhere I'm trying to get. So if I ever feel lost or out of alignment, it's like, okay, wait, where am I trying to line up with? And if you're doing that with someone else other than yourself, I feel like that's comparison. And that's going to create space for negative thinking and unrealistic expectations. So for me, it just made sense of, no, I want to connect with my future self, the person that's already overcome what I'm trying to overcome right now. I need to ask her, because she knows, because she's done it and she's me. So I love connecting with my future self. And something I love having clients do is connecting with, okay, we know what we don't want, but what do you want? Let's get very clear on that so that you can write down, what did she do to get there? Are you doing it? How does she think about this? How would she handle this? If that's where you want to go, you have to start actively acting like her, because that's the only way you get there, right? So I love just reconnecting with and realigning with my future self, because that's the only person I feel comfortable comparing or living up to be or asking the advice from, if that makes sense.
Totally.
It's not tainted.
Yeah, I love that so much. I think it's such an incredible way to look at things, because, you know, one of the biggest things that robs us of living our best life is jealousy and comparison. Mm-hmm. And so with that, you know, I love Abraham Hicks. One of the teachings she talks about, or the collective talks about, is when someone has abundance, it's like we all want abundance, but when abundance shows up in our life, then we start to get mad that that person has abundance, for example. But how would we know that abundance is available if it was never presented to us, right? Mm-hmm. And what I love is that, okay, we can maybe use what other people have to kind of understand what we want to have. But if we're, you know, aligning ourselves with us, then we're not comparing. We're actually in a very empowered place. We're not coming from a place of jealousy, which is a fear-based way of looking at things as well. So I think gosh, everyone, go and do that exercise of visualizing yourself and asking your future self from a year from now, you know, what did I do to get here, to feel what I'm feeling, and just see what you get, you know, even if that's through a meditation or a journaling exercise, you know, and let Lauren and myself know how that went for you and what you kind of got, and whether it's going to be something you're going to use. And I'm sure you teach this as well, but you know, just a little exercise that people can do. I'd love to know. So, you know, share that with all of us on the feedback with this podcast or email or message one of us. And I'd love for you to kind of share what have been some, I know you've already a little bit shared with one client, what have been some incredible transformations that people have gone through with Trilogy?
Oh, I love that. So it's interesting. I originally started out as a personal trainer and realized that losing weight wasn't fixing what people really were trying to fix. So that's what actually sparked me getting a master's degree in counseling in the first place. But I have a program called Find Your Healthy. And this program is helping women heal their relationship with their body and with food. And I think that's such an important part of women's lives. And it can be so empowering or debilitating. It can give life or death. So to see people work through the program and get to the other side of it. And I won't give exact details, but it's just some glimpses of what some women have worked through. It's like yo-yo dieters, people that have struggled with their weight their whole life.
That's me. Hearing, I'm into that category.
Like me, but seeing, like doing the work and realizing, wait a minute, it was never about the food. It was my unwillingness to feel emotion. It was just not having the understanding to live in a way and have a relationship in a way that served them and felt good to them. So there's a lot to unprogram within that program because, yeah, diet culture is everywhere. We are told what strong is beautiful, thin is beautiful, this is beautiful, that is beautiful. And it's like, okay, but what's your beautiful? What's your healthy? Where do you live comfortably? What are you okay with? And seeing women come through that program, it's been incredible. And hearing words like, I feel at home inside myself again. I don't feel guilty for what I eat. Eating healthy was actually, I love this. One of a recent client just had this breakthrough of, I can trust myself around food again. It's not something that I can't have or shouldn't have or can't have in the house. She's like, no, it can be here and I can have it. But when I go to the grocery store, I realize I reach more now that I've given myself that permission and I've rebuilt that trust. I reach now for more nourishing food because I want to love my body and care for my body in that way. So to see people go from eating healthy as a punishment and eating not as quality foods as a reward, watching them shift that and say, well, not so healthy food is okay too. I can eat that whenever I want, but I want. My reward is nutrition, and it's not force. It's very authentic for them, but it is learned. That wasn't their first response in the beginning. So to see women really shift there with food, because I think food is such a hijacker of our pleasure system, and it's gotten a bad rep, and diet culture is trying to make millions off of you thinking this is a guilt-free food. And, you know, it's just, it'll never end until we end it as women and we finally stand up for ourselves and choose to not participate in the diet culture. A lot of people, it's a multi-billion dollar business, and I started a little business to take it down. One woman at a time.
I love that. Good on you, because, you know, I think it's such an important thing. And I love how you said, you know, it's either keeping you alive or killing you, really. So it's wonderful that you are able to get those results. And I love the one where your client said, I'm now at home within myself. And I was like, wow, what an incredible feeling that must feel for her to be like, you know, and the other one that's like, I don't feel guilty anymore about what I eat. And it's like, how many women do you know that are counting calories? And, you know, it's like that to me, one, I'm not good with numbers. And that just sounds exhausting. And I probably wouldn't even put it down. Well, I haven't, you know, when I've tried to do that. I don't even put it down on the paper because it's like, oh, I think I've already gone over my limit. So, you know, I ate one cookie, you know, that's it. I've already blown my calorie intake for the day, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's exhausting, having to be in that way. So to go from, I now choose really good food because that's, and I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, for me, I've always kind of thought, you know, calories are calories in the sense, but it's like you get to choose what kind of calories per se, you know, an apple has, and a pizza, probably not, but let's just say, you know, they were the same, you know, they're the same calories, but one of them is, you know, from nature and one of them is from, we're not sure.
I like to say one's from a plant and one's from a plant.
You know, it's like, yeah. So, you know, I think what a beautiful program for anyone that's wanting to, you know, break through some of these barriers, and for you to feel that way as well, because, you know, feeling at home is a beautiful feeling. So I'd love, you know, for you to share, what is your hope for humanity in the future when it comes to mental health, mental well-being, and all of those kinds of things?
I feel like I'm at a pageant and I want to say world peace, right? It's but okay. No,
reality.
No. Honestly, I think what I'm trying to accomplish one person at a time is people allowing themselves to be who they are while allowing other people to be who they are, and loving and accepting the difference between that. Without trying to fix yourself, fix other people, evolve and grow, absolutely. But giving yourself the freedom and love to do that, not the shame and the guilt and the expectation. And the, so just to allow your emotions, allow yourself to grow, allow yourself to learn, and allow yourself to love.
Beautiful. Wow, that's a wonderful thing for humanity to aspire to. And I hope that in our lifetime, we get to see that, or in our next reincarnation, whenever that might be.
I have one more thing. I was like, wait, I did it. And for people to know how to use their brain efficiently, not just autopilot. Like, I want people to recognize the insane tool that your brain could be used to use to create your life, not to destroy your life.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are in destroy mode, aren't they? You know, it's like we always say, you know, I always say I want to help people to co-create their best life. And it's like people are, they can hear it, you know, when I say to them, oh, you know, you're going to have this or this is possible. And they go, yeah. And, but then it's like, I'm going to do what I know, because that's uncomfortable to try and actually have that, even though that sounds amazing and I want that. And I think, you know, when you talk about, you know, the mind, you know, actually using it, you know, it's like maybe a little bit less Netflix and, you know, go and do something that's, you know, balance. Life is all about balance, you know, make sure that you are doing something that's going to continue to help you to grow and understand who you are and evolve and expand and be enlightened. So balance out Netflix with maybe an online course, or, you know, doing something that's really going to help your mind. So no offense to Netflix, but, you know, it's like we've got to stimulate our minds, right? Because that society in a way, and social media and everything has dulled.
Yeah, it's hijacked our pleasure system.
Yeah. So I love that vision. Oh my gosh, Lauren, I've had such a great time talking with you, and the honest discussions that we've had, and the rawness and the vulnerability and everything that we've explored. And I think a lot of people who are listening would resonate with things that you've said, and they most likely want to connect with you and potentially do some of your programs. And I highly, you know, recommend people to, you know, do that, because, you know, the important part is not just the want, like you said, it's the action. So, you know, put the action into it and see your beautiful life unfold. So I'm going to link it up anyway, but give us the deets. Where can people connect with you, find you, all of that juiciness?
Yes, all that good stuff. So I mainly function on Instagram. You can find me at trilogy_TX. And then I have a website that you can also visit that has details of my programs, how to reach out to me, how to apply. And that is trilogywellnesstx.com, the Find Your Healthy or one-on-one. If I have availability, apply. And if not, we'll get you on the wait list and get you started as soon as possible, because I like to say there's room for everyone and trusting the timing of that.
Yeah. And I always say, even if you don't get the opportunity to do it straight away, the fact that you've committed already starts the ball rolling. Energetically, you've said to the universe, okay, there might not necessarily be a space for another 2 months, but I've said yes. And so the energy starts to shift, the quantum shifts are able to happen. So don't let that stop you, because you still put the action, even if you said, yep, Lauren, put me on your wait list. Okay. That's still creating that momentum. So, oh my gosh, I just thank you so much, Lauren. You are such a beautiful person inside and out, and the love and compassion that you have for women and humanity and what that's going to do for future generations and ensuring that, you know, we are the best versions of ourselves. I hope eventually that more and more people step into this kind of work that you're doing, so that, you know, the ripples effect are so far and wide. And my heart feels, I don't even know how to explain it. My heart feels content knowing that incredible people are now stepping into their full potential, because they've been able to break through, break down, you know, their lack of self-worth with the work that you do with Trilogy. So
thank you so much, Melissa, for having me on. It was an honor, and I was so grateful to share this time and this space with you. So thank you so much for having me.
So thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in and spending this incredible time with Lauren and myself. It's always such a joy to learn and grow with you all. Remember that the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to rise with love. So until next time, everyone, peace, love, and blessings, Melissa.